The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Welcome, everyone. So glad to have you here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, broadcasting out of Brookings Harbor, Oregon, on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial, and anywhere in the world on the podcast. Hey, we might even be intergalactic. We don't know. I am your host, Misty Young, joined by my co-host, Sherry Carey Baum. So glad to have you here today, Sherry.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. You know, we're coming to you from what we like to call the gateway of the great Pacific Northwest. This is about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S., but not as far as you can get. That would be, I think, Port Orford, I think. A little further north of us. However, it is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, the nicest people you'll ever meet. And truly, this is where the mountains and the old-growth redwoods meet the sea. Harbor, Oregon, and Brookings, Oregon is home to me and home to my co-host, Sherry Carey Baum.
Yes, it is a beautiful spot.
So glad to be here today. Of course, we're going to talk about nutrition because that's what Sherry and I live to talk about. Before we get started, I'd like to give a big round of applause and shout out to the entire KCIW sound engineering production crew and all the folks on the board of directors and the volunteers that helped make this little station that could, that did, that is the station that brings Curry Coast Community Radio to you. Now, you may know that I am not a doctor, I am not a scientist, I am a nutrition geek. I hold a nutritional therapist certificate from the Health Sciences Academy and a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. However, my co-host, Sherry Carey Baum, I'm going to ask you to give a little personal introduction. She is a medical professional.
She is
a registered nurse, a nurse practitioner, a nurse midwife, and is also a graduate of the plant-based nutrition certificate program at the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. And you've been teaching me an awful lot. Thank you for all the lessons.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for having me here. I think you just told them all my...
Well, what I really want to know is sometimes I want to know, how did you get into nutrition? I mean, as we've talked about you being vegetarian and stuff, but how did you get to be vegetarian even before you went to Honduras with your nursing group?
You know, I just really saw more and more often that patients weren't doing well. And it was a struggle for their health, to maintain their health from diabetes, heart disease, all of those things. And as a midwife, people assume that when you're a midwife, all you do is deliver babies. Mm-hmm. But midwifery actually encompasses all women's health care, basically. So I did a little extra classes and an extra certifications for menopause, as well as family. I was a family nurse practitioner, only because as a midwife, my patients were coming to me with all sorts of problems. And I wanted to figure out how best to put the pieces together. So if a woman comes to see me and let's say she's 56, she's gone through menopause, she's struggling, but then I look at her labs and I look at her medications and she's on high blood pressure, you know, she's pre-diabetic. So I really felt the need to go back and get my family practice. Most women see one provider.
Right. Kind of. Usually it's their gyno, right? Like that's
exactly
their doctor. Yeah.
Because they have to go and every year.
Yep.
So I felt like I was doing a disservice to my women by not having the second half of their care understanding.
Can you talk a little bit about what does it look like when you look at someone's numbers? I mean, you said you could kind of look at their blood work and stuff. What is, talk about that. Because I know today I want to talk a little bit about myths and culture and fears and that kind of thing too. But what are some myths around, let me tell a tiny little story.
Okay. I love stories.
You know, I'm into the story thing. The other day I was in some Facebook group, a whole food plant-based living Facebook group, and there was a discussion about obesity in there. Mm-hmm. And somebody made the comment that being fat, literally, this is what it said. I'm not disparaging.
Right.
And I'm not fat shaming. I'm fact sharing. It said being fat is not unhealthy.
Oh, I know.
And I was
people are saying that.
Yes.
Well,
it
there
is.
Are, it's so confusing because you can find a study to prove whatever you want, honestly. And we've talked about how in our culture, the more confusion,
the less action,
sedate people become.
Yes.
They don't want to change. and they're not getting enough information to give them the validation to change.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, there are some studies that show that, yep, there are some women that are on the obesity line, or men, that really are doing fine with it. So a lot of it depends on where you're collecting your fat. We know that skinny people can also be at high risk for cardiovascular disease or that metabolic disease because their fat is stored around their organs. And we know that's more dangerous than having those love handles and the fat over the muscle and
is
over the organs.
Visceral fat when it's around your organs?
And so we know that it's a prediction of cardiovascular disease. We know it's more of a prediction that you're going to have an increased risk for diabetes. And you don't always know. You can't look at somebody and suddenly determine whether or not they've got, you know, fat right around their liver or their kidneys or what's going on. I think that you can say that there are people who are obese that are not ill. You can say that. But when you have so much fat in your cells, it doesn't matter because I know that the fat cells reduce the ability of insulin and glucose to get into your muscles and get into those cells, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have higher levels of glucose in your bloodstream. You're going to have higher levels of insulin. You're going to tax your pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that combined puts us in a state of pre-diabetic, right? So, yeah, take it with a grain of salt.
Right, that whole idea that just being fat is not unhealthy. Being fat is it's an indicator, it's a doorway, right? It's sort of the gateway drug. I mean, I think back, you know, to the 70s, the gateway drugs, right? But it is kind of the gateway, it's the door opener. And what else does it speak to your lifestyle? It speaks to what kind of nutrition or non-nutrition, what promoters or demoters are you putting into your body? And then it speaks to your physical activity level.
Absolutely, right. And we know that physical activity, you know, you burn some calories. You're not going to burn a huge amount of calories, but you're going to burn some calories. But exercise increases the circulation of your blood to your brain, to your heart, to your muscles, to your organs, so it helps it to heal more. We also know that exercise reduces depression, anxiety, all of those things combined. Basically allows your muscles to use that glucose better when you exercise, even if you are overweight and you exercise. That's going to help your muscles identify the insulin and the glucose. So maybe you can bring more into your body and lower your blood sugars. So exercise is a wonderful thing to do for yourself.
How often should people exercise? Is it an everyday thing? Is it an every other day
thing?
Pretty much.
You know, I think we should be exercising every day. I mean, we all know that if you're just sitting on your bum, you're pretty depressed, right? You're not getting up. You're not doing anything. And I'm not talking that you have to be a marathon person.
Right.
You don't have to run. How about if you just walk? Just walk. You don't have to have a fast pace. Do half an hour, 40 minutes. You'll feel so much better and you're going to develop a routine that your body's actually going to start to ask for. You know, you'll get that antsiness. Oh my gosh, I didn't exercise yesterday. What's wrong?
Right. We did a road trip over the last few days. And just yesterday we came through Grants Pass and we were in a parking lot of a health food store. It's one we always stop at.
Oh, it's my favorite.
I love that store.
Yeah. I should have sent my list.
I should have asked you if you had a list. I love that store. So we were in the store and out at the edge of the parking lot where we park anyway, there was a little sign that said Oregon Blue Zones Project. And it said, park here if you want to add some extra steps into your day to get a little more exercise.
Isn't
that great? Then I really want to come right back to that in a second, but I forgot to start by talking a little bit about self-care. And I've been wanting to do this every day. And I came across some thinking this week that I really explored in detail because it was just like one of those moments, you know, like a hit up against the side of my head. Last week, another story first. I always do this,
right? I love stories.
I'm going to say this, but first you have to say a story. And then the next thing. I was in a big meeting last week, and at the end of the meeting, one of the guys in the meeting came out and he said, how's your radio show going? Are you still doing it? I said, oh yeah, I love the radio show. I have a lot of fun with it. You know, we talk mostly about nutrition. And he literally pounded at his gut. He slapped his belly on both sides with both of his hands, and he said, my problem is, and he went, whack, I'm fat. My problem is, whack, I'm fat. And I said, wow, well, what are you doing about it? And he goes, well, you know, I've had an awful lot of stress. in my life. And I said, well, you know, you could choose different foods. I said, the key really is right now to move more and eat more of the right foods. Get rid of those animal products.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he said, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. And then this is the thinking that came to me. This is the thinking I was exposed to that was just sort of mind-blowing. Check this out. This is really important for self-care. If you're not changing it, you're choosing it, right?
Again, it gets back to our confusion.
Right.
If we
right.
confuse the public enough about the right health diet, the right diet for feeding their bodies, if we confuse them enough, they're just going to go back to old patterns, the patterns that we've been doing for 200 years.
We're talking about hundreds of years of patterns that have to get shifted, you know, and if, so if you say if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. And then we compare and contrast that with the idea that, you know, every bite of food we take is either fighting disease or feeding disease.
Exactly.
And what you and I both learned in the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies program, which is that foods can either be health promoters or health
right.
demoters.
And absolutely.
So then this second thought came to me, right? So this is all about if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. This is really trippy because this morning I woke up with an even deeper sense of this. And it's like this. You go back in your head to the tobacco wars.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So go back in your head to the tobacco wars. And we go back in
it's
our
exactly
minds.
It's exactly the same propaganda, the same style. You see
right.
it in emails. You see it in our government.
Right, right. And we were scheduled recently to teach a nutrition course. And an email came out that said, oh, and by the way, just a heads
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was waiting for you to say something
right,
about that.
Right,
yeah.
right. Oh, and by the way, just a heads up, you know, some people get a little religious fanatic type about nutrition. We want to make sure this is evidence-based, just the facts, ma'am, kind of a thing. And first of all, frankly, I was slightly offended by that.
I know,
that.
You didn't yeah. respond, and I thought, this is one I think I should respond to.
Did you respond? Because I've been traveling,
did.
So I have no idea.
I did, and
yeah.
and part of it was, it wasn't even fanatic, it was meat.
Right.
It
right.
was, we weren't supposed to talk about
meat,
avoiding animal products. We were supposed to just talk about nutrition. And, you know, we're in a small community. I get it. I do kind of get it.
Yeah.
And this was for young people.
Right. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And so, I've had little battles with nieces and nephews where they go, Auntie Sherry, why don't you eat meat? And, you know, in my heart, I want to go, well, let me tell
let
you.
Let me tell you, right.
You know that little bacon you love so much? Guess what? It's a little piggy.
Right.
But I can't go there because of their parents. I love them to death.
Right.
And I want to, and they know yeah. how I eat. Believe me, it's
right.
no surprise. Everybody that
right.
knows me knows how
knows
I eat.
Knows how you eat.
And what I believe in and why I believe it. And,
yes.
And the rationale is not just for animal rights, it's for health.
Yes.
So.
Three health, really. Three
right.
healths, right? The health of the human body, the health of the animal, the health of the planet.
Absolutely.
There's three healths. I don't think that's
and
a word.
It's interesting because this mom actually works for Kaiser down in San Diego. And
Kaiser's a big proponent
huge.
Of non-animal products.
Kaiser is now teaching all their physicians
yes.
about a whole food plant-based
Love
diet.
It.
They're recommending it as a whole food
oh
plant-based
my gosh.
Diet. And it makes sense because, right, they're, what is it, a closed system of profit.
Right.
So the less you use of them and their medical care, the more money they're
going to
make.
Yeah.
So if Kaiser is behind a whole food plant-based diet, as far as I'm concerned, come on.
Come on, yeah.
It's
They're
in the word.
They're a pretty big group, yeah.
Right. They're saying, we know that we can prevent and decrease disease
right.
by eating whole food plant-based.
Right. And that article, I mean, we read an article, we shared an article on the Ocean Mist Power Hour a few months ago from Kaiser that was just a phenomenal article.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it right this moment, but if you're listening and you want to go take a look at it, go visit kciw.org. And take a look for that article. I would guess it was probably 4 months ago. So whatever time you're looking at this now, go back 4 months ago and look for something that says it's lifestyle medicine is
right
in the name of the article. Well, continuing down that train of thinking then, if we look at the tobacco wars, and I want to come back to chicken. So I'm going to put my thumb up over here for chicken because I have something interesting to say about that too. The tobacco wars, you know, there was this whole period of time where the doctors themselves would, and we've talked about this before too, and Dr. Greger on NutritionFacts.org
right.
has brought it up, where the doctors would come into on commercials. I mean, you and I are old enough to remember smoking commercials on TV.
I do remember.
And also to remember when cigarettes were prominently positioned in shows like Marcus Welby, MD, you know, like we grew up on those shows, right? But the docs would come in and say, well, my cigarette of preference is Kent.
Right.
So again, there's more confusion in the marketplace, but then they were getting real specific about what kinds of cigarettes were going to be better than other kinds. This was this matter.
My favorite was, you'll lose weight. Well, yeah, because you're smoking, you're not eating.
Right.
And menthol is better for you because it's good for your lungs.
Oh my gosh, right?
I have a poster somewhere where a doctor is actually doing a delivery and the woman's all covered up. Her knees are all covered up, right? Because she can't see anything.
I can't see that.
And he's got his cig in his mouth as he's delivering a baby. It's like, welcome
please.
To the world, baby.
Right. Oh, yeah. Your first breath will be secondhand smoke brought to you by your doctor.
And maybe it'll be menthol.
Oh, yeah, because that's better for you. Then this deep thought came to my head.
Oh,
this was deep.
I like deep thoughts.
Yeah, this was deep. I woke up with this on my head this morning that, you know, there's a lot of confusion in that whole thing back in the old school days with the doctors thinking, you know, well, Kent is, you know, cool or menthol is better or filter is better or non-filter is better. That now what we have in the same vein on nutrition is meat is better or dairy is better or cheese is better or not better, right? So I'm not sure I'm going to be able to articulate this well, so let me see if I can figure it out. Everyone knows now, without a doubt, that cigarette smoking
are bad.
Yeah, cigarettes are bad. We all know that. But there was a period of time when we didn't know that, when even the doctors were saying, we don't know that. Here's my favorite is Kent.
Right.
It
wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was the 50s and 60s.
It was in our
lifetime.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. So right now, I think we are at the cutting edge of everyone knows something is wrong with our food. Everyone knows it.
Well, processed meat is on the World Health Organization as a number one carcinogen.
Right. It's a class one carcinogen.
Right there with cigarettes.
And plutonium.
Right.
Right. So we have to do the math. And what I'm saying now is I had a conversation last week with someone who I was showing them a label of a bread product. I was pretty impressed with this bread product because it has high fiber, it has a lot of protein, it's 100%, it's whole grain, it's
wonderful.
Good stuff. And she points up to the carbs and she goes, well, that won't work for me because it's high carb. Right? So there's this, again, more confusion. We're back to the, is it filtered or non-filtered? Is it menthol or non-menthol?
Right.
We're down to, is it carbs or is it protein? Is it this or that? I mean, we just have to get to the point where we say, look, foods can be bad for you. We know for sure that tobacco is bad. Some foods can be bad for you. And animal products are on the top of that list, as you just said. The World Health Organization has
absolutely
indicated.
Processed meat, bologna,
hot dogs,
which, I mean, all of us have fed our kids how many hot dogs?
Right. And pepperoni. We're really good if we do
pizza.
Turkey pepperoni.
Oh,
right?
There
we
go.
Isn't that better?
Turkey
pepperoni, turkey
hot dog.
Turkey hot dogs. Right. I mean, I used to feel so good. I was like, well, I'm making this dinner, but it's turkey sausage.
Did the same thing.
Yep. I'm bringing my thumb back because I had something I wanted to tell you. Our little granddaughter, who's just two, recently her mother said to her, so I've wanted to become a light to my family. You know that. That's
absolutely
been my goal. I want to be a light to my family. And now I want to be a light to other people as well, our listeners here. I want to be a light to you to say, look, you can think differently because if you're not changing it, you're choosing it.
Right.
So our family, the bigger picture family, you know, the daughters, the sons-in-law, everybody, the grandkids, they're all starting to think and eat differently. And so my daughter offered my granddaughter, who's just two, a chicken nugget. And she said, chicken nugget. And the little girl said, chicken bok bok. Right? So she's thinking about Farmer John's Baby Farm Animals
book.
Beautiful
little chicken. Yeah,
and the beautiful little chicken. And then she said, no, chicken bok bok, no. And she pushed it away. She wouldn't eat it.
Oh, what a sweetie.
Right? So I'm ratting out my family here. I'm ratting you out. You knew it was coming. I told you I was going to talk about this. So here it comes. The next thing is, I'm just curious, are you going to say ground up piggy?
Right.
Cut up piggy? Or are you going to say sausage or bacon? You're going to say sausage or bacon. So this morning, Gary and I were talking about that. And I said, isn't it interesting when we start saying things like, well, I only eat chicken or turkey, put the S on it so that you can say, I only eat chickens or turkeys.
Or turkeys.
Right? It just really shifts your mindset. One little letter of the alphabet shifts or can shift your mindset if you're thinking about it.
It does.
Because if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. just like the guy last week who literally pounded his belly. I'm pounding my belly, and said, my problem is I'm fat. No, your problem is you're picking the wrong things to put in your mouth.
Exactly. And what are you choosing? Are you choosing pleasure, which, you know, I mean, meat doesn't sound pleasurable anymore to me.
No.
But are you choosing that over the rest of your life, your health, your healthcare costs, the trauma it puts your family through?
Right.
All those things. And to be able to control it. I mean, we're all going to die.
Eventually, yes.
Eventually, right. But let's do it with grace, and let's do it on our own time. And I don't know. It just breaks my heart when you see these, especially men, like my previous husband, who died at a very early age, all because of heart attack. And my dad, I mean, he was only 64.
Oh my gosh.
Sudden heart attacks. It shouldn't happen. Mm-mm. It just shouldn't happen. And so when they grab their belly, you go, yeah, it's not just there. What you see, I want you to look deeper and realize that that extra fat is also in your vessels.
Right.
It's in your blood vessels. It's in your arteries. So that means it's in your brain. I mean, my favorite thing is when men become impotent, not important, impotent.
Yeah.
That's the first sign. That's the canary in the tunnel.
Right.
Because those blood vessels are so small that they're clogged. And that's why things aren't working the way they want to. And so think about it. The men in their 40s and 50s, when they go looking for that secret little blue pill, guess what? It's your canary. It's your warning sign that there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
But
golly, and it's just, it's one of those things, again, if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. So, and you know, this is not a discussion about impotence specifically, but let's talk about that for a second.
Right. I mean, those blood vessels are so small.
Right.
There's cholesterol.
They're going to get affected sooner than the bigger blood vessels.
There's a narrowing of the arteries and of the veins. Mm-hmm. And it really is, according to Dr. Greger, Bernard, Esselton, all of them say
it's the first warning sign. Wow.
And instead, we think it's because of stress, or we attribute it to whatever.
Right.
But no, it's the first sign.
And I want to say again, I'm not fat shaming, I'm fact sharing, you know?
Right.
This is not about, you know, oh, you're fat, so you're dumb, or you're stupid, or you're ugly.
Oh, good God,
that is not anything about what I'm saying. What I really want to say is, if you have fat on your body, look at what's going in your mouth.
Right.
Because that's where the fat is coming from. And I've really just these last several months, I mean, Sherry, I want you to know I'm down 8 pounds.
Yeah.
I know, in about 8 weeks.
Oh my gosh, is that not cool?
Yeah, it's really cool. I feel so good. I mean, and even though I just got back, I couldn't wait to tell you.
But, oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, even after a 5-day road trip, I came back today, only down 0.2 pounds, but down 0.2 pounds after a 5-day road trip was a big deal, instead of coming home 2 or 3 pounds up. So not only even, but down a little bit, I was super stoked about that. And it was Valentine's weekend. I ate a couple chocolates while I was out and about this time. I did, you know, but I don't do that every day, and I don't do it every week, and I don't do it every month. What I do every day is I think about what goes in my mouth, because you've taught me the importance of whole foods. Now, I didn't really get that. And I know if you're listening to this, you say, boy, she talks about the same thing all the time. I'm hammering home a point to you. I want you to really hear this.
Yeah.
It's really important.
It is important.
And it's not just about fat. And this is the part that's important, especially to me, because I know, I think in a recent broadcast, you and I were talking, and I said something like, well, it's really all about my vanity. I just want to look good. And you said, I'm calling you out on that.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It's not. And I want to come back to what you just said a second ago, because this is critical. You said, if the fat is on the outside and you can see it, it's in your blood vessels, it's in your veins, it's in your brain.
Oh, yeah.
What happens when fat goes into your brain? Is that where dementia comes from? It lays down plaques in there?
It's laying down the plaque, right? So it's the cholesterol, it's the plaque. You know, your brain blood vessels are no different than any other blood vessel, right? Only they're smaller, so they're more likely to get clogged. So you're worried about decreased perfusions, which leads to Alzheimer's, dementia, you know, and then if you have something, a clot that breaks off, we're looking at stroke.
Whoa.
So, I mean, these are life-altering things. And it's not just your life. It's your family's life. And if we really want to look at the huge spectrum of it, it's our country's healthcare costs. I mean, we spend more on healthcare than anything else as a nation. So you want to save money, you want to help our government not spend as much, how about if we start looking at what we do? What part do we have in it? And I think we can reevaluate it. Speaking of the weight thing, I have a girlfriend who has decided to go whole food, plant-based.
Nice.
And yeah, she's doing really good. She's one of those people that jumps in with both feet. But she told me this is the first time in her life she didn't have to worry about gaining weight, that she can eat and not worry about gaining.
Nice.
So she's losing some weight. She's a little bit in that confused arena of whole foods versus
vegan or plant-based. Yes.
So she's probably getting a lot more of the oils than she really needs. But she said it's the first time in her life, and she's 65, that she's ever not had to worry about gaining weight.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. And it's just the food that is around us gets in us. And it's again, I know I hammer on that point all the time, but it really is about our environment. And, you know, there's been a lot of research in the last few years, maybe the last couple of decades, about willpower. Like, there is no such thing as willpower, right?
You know what? That's so awful. But it's something I wanted to talk about today.
Nice.
Because I've got this book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And it was a New York bestseller. And I don't know how old it is, but I was kind of researching how to deal with change and how to cope with change. And it just felt genius to me, actually, because what he said is, you got to stop looking at your goals. So like, whatever your weight goal is, stop talking about the goal. Like, let's say my weight goal is 150.
Right.
Okay. Instead of looking at that one goal, look at the system that gets you to the goal.
Oh, cool.
Right?
Yes.
Because what happens when we all meet our want weight?
Oh, we go off the system.
We go off the system.
Right.
And we gain our weight back, right?
Right.
Whereas if you focus on the system, so the system is, what am I going to do to get me to that spot that I want to be at? And then make that system my life. Isn't that genius?
Yes.
And then the second thing that really struck me, so you know I play piano.
Yes.
I try to play piano. I take piano lessons, and I'm not very good. I've been taking them for a lot of years.
But you do it, though.
I do it
so
every week. I have a piano lesson, and I practice every day. But he brought something up. He said, you have to look at yourself in a different way. So instead of me telling you, oh, yeah, I play piano. I'm really bad. I take lessons. He said, no, you're a musician. So
nice.
I am a musician.
Nice.
Isn't that cool?
Yes,
I love
you are.
That. And the reason he said claim that is because then you look at, what do musicians do?
Oh, they practice.
They read their music.
Right.
They really put their heart into it.
Right.
They get creative. They relax. You know, I play piano like a typist, is what my piano teacher tells me. She's like, you're really good. You can read music, but you're not a typist on the piano. So the thing he also recommends, if you're trying to lose weight, what would a skinny person do? Mm. Okay? Identify with what thin people do. Thin people walk away from that donut that's sitting there in the office that's stale and been sitting by a stale pot of coffee. Thin people walk away from it. Thin people don't park right at the door of the grocery store. Thin people usually park where they park where they can put their cart, you know, which is never by the front door.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right, right,
or
right.
They take the stairs. They don't take the elevator. So start looking at the system and then identify with who you want to be. Are you a thin person? Is that what you want? Then start thinking like a thin person.
So it begins in your mentality and your
mindset.
It begins
in your mindset, and then do it. And you do it every day. And it just changes that whole perspective. And they don't have to be giant steps. I think in there he quoted about a coach that worked with England, because England has been really bad at cycling, I guess, forever. They always lost, you know, and almost didn't get invited to the Grand French.
The Tour de France.
That's the one.
That one.
Almost didn't get in it because they were always doing bad. And so he went in and decided he was going to do 1% better.
Oh, good.
On everything.
Yes.
So the pants, 1% better. You know, they were a little bit longer. They were going to heat the muscles a little bit longer so that their muscles don't get fatigued and cold. The seats were going to be 1% more comfortable. The tires were going to be 1% better. than the previous, you know, for sticking with the road.
Yeah.
So his theory was you do small 1% changes and that changes everything. Mm-hmm. And now they're wonderful competitive team mm-hmm. from England in the races.
That's awesome.
And it was 1%.
You know, I read a book years and years ago, Psycho-Cybernetics.
Ooh.
I can't remember the name of the author. It's a super old book. Maxwell Maltz, I think, was the name of the author. But it's a really super old book. And he really, in Psycho-Cybernetics, is talking about the same thing. He's like, look, a rocket gets launched and it's always off course. The rocket is always off course. And so the software in the rocket or the software in your head is always course correcting constantly. It's always about course correcting so that you can go from this point to halfway around the world to hit your target, whatever it is, always course correcting.
That's Isn't it exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of the same thing. You only have to change 1%. So if I were going to change to a whole food plant-based diet, I'd start adding more vegetables. You know, we're supposed to have 8 to 10 a day.
Yes.
8 to 10. I mean, how many of us, even as a vegan or a vegetarian or whole food plant-based diet, sometimes I'll look at my husband and go, I don't think we've been eating enough vegetables. And
Isn't
he'll look
weird?
At me like, you are so odd.
Yeah.
But it's true. You know, you have to make an effort to get that 8 to 10 in there, and mm-hmm. it's going to make all the difference in the world. It's mm-hmm. going to fill your belly up. You're going to have all those nutrients. You're going to feel great. You're going to look great, mm-hmm. and you're going to lose weight because plants, carbs, whole, you know, we're talking unrefined carbs, brown rice, barley, all those wonderful things, beans, potatoes with the skin on. All of those things fill you up so much that you're going to reduce your calories at every single meal at least half to a third.
Can you talk about some of the myths in the whole food plant-based? I mean, we've talked a little bit about the myth of, you know, well, the confusion factor of, you know, is it going to be Kent cigarettes versus, you know, some other cigarette or a filter versus a non-filter. And we do have these myths out there, I think, in modern society that say carbs are bad. And I know you just addressed it, but can you dig a little deeper? Can you unpack that a little more? What
Atkins,
is it about carbs?
In one word, it's Atkins had decided mm-hmm. that they were the culprit of mm-hmm. obesity in our country. And as far as I'm concerned, it really is doing a disservice to our country.
Mm-hmm.
Whole grains have fiber. They have nutrients. They really are healing for your body.
Mm-hmm.
I eat carbs all the time. I am not overweight.
I eat
a lot of food.
Yes.
So I really think it came from basically that first initial theory with Atkins. And unfortunately, it's being perpetuated over and over from the keto diet.
Keto is the new Atkins, right?
A friend of mine called me this morning and she was talking about this. She's an accountant and she works with a doctor and he's decided to leave his practice and now he's only going to work on low carb education to teach people about low carbs. And it just breaks my heart. So he says, do eat vegetables. Mm-hmm. Eat vegetables. Mm-hmm. They're good for you.
Mm-hmm. Don't touch the fruit. Is that what he's saying?
No fruit.
Oh my gosh.
But if you're going to eat those vegetables, his recommendation is to put on a half a pound of butter. Really, how can we have so many people that are so well educated with the research that is out there still believing this and still perpetuating all of those myths?
You know, I want to come back to something you said at the very, very beginning of our broadcast, and you may or may not even be able to respond to this. I don't know. You said you can paraphrasing, but you said you can pretty much find facts and sources to back up anything, right? So can the keto people find facts and resources to back up that meat and fat and oil is healthy for you?
You know, honestly, I don't think they can.
Why are so many people buying the concept?
I remember an interview that I saw with Dr. Campbell, which we all love Dr. Campbell.
Yes.
And Dr. Atkins before mm-hmm. he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Atkins accused Dr. Campbell of, well, you can do all the research you want because you've got the college behind you. And Dr. Campbell kind of looked back at him and said, you've made millions of dollars on your book and your diet and mm-hmm. all your supplements to your diet,
right?
The Atkins sauce, the Atkins whatever.
Right, the Atkins meal program.
It's this huge
multi-conglomerate, yes.
Right. And he said, so how come you haven't done any research?
Oh, nice.
And then it just kind of died. And I thought, you go, Dr. Campbell, right. You go.
And speaking of dying, didn't Atkins die of a heart attack or some kind of heart thing?
Well, they say he hit his head and he died. But the research somehow, you know,
autopsy,
who knows?
Whatever.
Autopsy got out and it was actually he had a heart attack and then he fell and hit his head.
Wow.
So
I'm not gloating on that. There's no peace.
Oh, heavens.
No.
But how interesting that he's accusing Dr. Campbell. And Dr. Campbell's career has been pretty tough.
Yeah.
You know, Cornell is a great school, but they've also had a lot of donations from the meat and dairy industry.
Yep.
And he's gotten his hands smacked quite a few times because of his research. So he's just been very persistent and strong as an advocate for health.
It occurs to me that this whole concept of, you know, coming back to this idea that you're either changing it or choosing it, and that we're sort of in this continued war with, you know, filter cigarettes versus non-filter cigarettes, menthol cigarettes versus non-menthol cigarettes, that the doctors themselves are kind of in that fight mode right now. We don't, and actually, we do see the doctors doing exactly what the doctors were doing 50 years ago in the tobacco wars, right? We see them stepping up and saying, milk, cheese, eggs, butter, meat, eat this for health. And then you see some docs like Bernard Esselstyn, Caldwell, Ornish, McDougall.
Right.
You know, all of these others, but Dr. Greger, you see them standing up and saying, no, absolutely not on those things. So the medical establishment itself is beginning to step forward.
Well, my favorite is the lead cardiologist. He's no longer in charge of
Dr. Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's no longer in charge of it, but he's saying
it's the American Cardiology Association, right?
Right.
Yep.
He's saying that every single cardiologist should be whole food plant-based.
Yes.
Because the research is out there. So this is a big name. A lot of research is telling us really eat whole food. But you can't, you know, I always have to backpedal because I understand that doctors really do care.
I mean,
they're not going to be in this field unless you care because it is a hard profession.
Yeah.
No question about it. They care. So it's interesting that such intelligent people, which they are, I mean, I went to school a long time, but not quite as long as they did. They have a lot of degrees. They have a lot of education behind them. Unfortunately, it's not in nutrition. And I think, unfortunately, it's also some of their education is backed by corporate
interests.
Yeah.
You know, you saw recently, I was telling you that I have a friend who is in public affairs for a well-known medical school. And she had posted something about, you know, our medical school, blah, blah, blah. It was talking about how great they were doing and something they were getting ready to do. And so I just said, oh, and by the way, how much nutrition education do they have in the program? And she wrote back a non-response. You know, she just kind of gobbledygooked her way through without saying ever that they have any medical training at all. And now that that door is open, I'm literally going to call her and say, hey, I want to know what amount, because guess what?
It's mandatory that they take some hours, but they're 20 to, I think, 25 to 29 hours.
Their whole
career.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's not even one course on nutrition. It's
their whole career.
What, a week? Half a week?
Right?
That's not even a half a week.
When you're saying 29 hours, you're not talking about like hours like how they talk about credits. Because you know how sometimes in the university
it's like we're talking total hours.
And
that's
hours,
on the high
half
end.
A week.
Right.
Wow.
Now, they are trying to make it mandatory. I think the Physicians Committee with Dr. Bernard is trying to get it set as a law that they have to have certain number of hours for nutrition. He's really an advocate of it.
I love that. I love the work that they're doing.
Strong.
Yeah, I love the work they're doing. And I love the work. There's a few people I'd like to call out. For you, if you're listening, you're part of this discussion, you're interested in whole food, plant-based living, I'd like to call out a few names for you that you can go and look up these folks on your own. The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, Dr. Neil Barnard and his group. That's Barnard, B-A-R-N-A-R-D. Dr. Greger with the nutritionfacts.org. What a fantastic resource.
Oh, he is.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you can literally go to that website. Everything on that website is completely free. You can pop onto that website, pop into the search bar and type in any disease, any condition, any food, any fruit, vegetable, whatever you want. Not every single thing in the world is going to be addressed there, but, you know, the for sure, diabetes, heart disease, right. metabolic syndrome, overweight, obesity, you know, cancer, lung problems, all those things are all in there. And then you can just go in specifically and say like, oh, what are blueberries good for? You know, you just type in blueberries and bam, right. you're going to get some information about the antioxidants.
And it's all research.
It's all research, you know, right. There's no opinion.
No opinion. Dr. Greger is really good at doing meta-analysis. So yes. he takes all this research, condenses it,
right.
and then gives you the results.
I love that. Yeah.
Me
so,
too.
So Dr. Greger's amazing. Doctors, and I'm putting an S on that, Doctors Campbell. There's T. Colin Campbell, and then there's Thomas Campbell. And those guys are both with the Center for Nutrition Studies. And while you may not want to go through the whole process of getting certified, as Sherry and I both have in the Center for Nutrition Studies at eCornell, you can go to nutritionstudies.org, I believe is the name of the website, or Center for Nutrition Studies, and read the posts, read the blog posts, read the research. Everything there is footnoted and cited. So, you know, and Drs. Campbell both wrote the China study, and then Dr. Thomas Campbell, the son. So that's a father-son combination, which I love it when it's in the family. The son wrote a handbook, a workbook on how to implement the China study, which is pretty cool. Dr. Esselstyn is another name. I want you to go look up Dr. Esselstyn, Esselstyn, Dr. Esselstyn, Caldwell Esselstyn Jr. is his name. He's a cardiologist. And, you know, his story is so amazing because he started seeing people with literally end-stage heart failure, same thing as what Dr. Ornish was seeing, right? People with end-stage heart failure. And he was able to change their bodies at the end of their lives and not let it be the end of their lives, right?
Exactly.
So move them to a whole food, plant-based diet.
Too sick to have surgery.
Right.
So they were the patients that everybody gave up on.
End of the line.
Right. They're like, you're too sick.
We're done with you.
We don't think you'll make it through surgery.
Right.
Bam. And I think they directed him to...
Yeah, they're like, too bad, so sad. No, I think he went in and said, hey, let me see all those people. Yeah. And they now have like these 20 and 30 year reunions with some of those people who were too bad, so sad, you're going to go die.
Yeah.
They didn't. You know, they didn't.
Well, that was Dr. Greger's grandmother. That's how he got into lifestyle medicine is his grandmother was told, you're just going to die in, I don't know how many months, like 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do.
Your
cardiac disease is too much. Say your goodbyes. And I think she was like 60 or
65.
Something. 65.
Yep.
And so she went whole food plant-based and lived another 31 years. 31. Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad she's here. Well, I've read her story so many times and I've talked about it so many
times. So amazing.
Dr. Ornish is another name I want you to look up. Dr. Ornish.
He did a lot of research, not only with cardiovascular disease, but with prostate cancer.
Yeah,
that's
he's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Those are some of the big names of people that I want you to think about. There's a Dr. McDougall, of course, Dr. John McDougall. I'd love for you to go and look him up as well. All of these folks have been proponents of a whole food plant-based lifestyle for a very long time. And they're some of them are getting pretty old. You know, I mean, Dr. Campbell's in his mid or late 80s. Yeah. Dr. Esselstyn, mid or late 80s.
They look good.
They look great. And, you know, they show videos. I mean, this we're recording in February, but in December, there were pictures of Dr. Esselstyn and his wife in their late 80s dancing.
It was so cute.
It was so darling. They had like this little Christmas party and they're dancing. I loved that. That made me happy. The other thing I want to encourage you to do is, I have to tell a story. I can't help it. Here comes
love
a story.
It. Yeah, love it.
Right? So I want you to think about, if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. So here's what I want you to think about. You know, Sherry was talking about atomic habits, and I'm going to ask you to come back to that right after I think about this, or after I talk about this a little bit, because atomic habits, you know, the idea is tiny changes, remarkable results. If you think about it, today's society is big on tattoos, right? Tattoos are everywhere.
Yeah,
a lot of people. They seem to be. So if you see someone with no tattoos, chances are likely they spent zero time in a tattoo parlor.
Yeah, I've never been to one.
I've never been to one. But if you see someone with full sleeves, full chest, full back, up the neck, down the legs, all of that, there's a very good indication that they've spent a significant amount of time in a tattoo parlor. And so the point I'm making to you is how you spend your time shows up in your life, whether is tattoos or, you know, large amounts of fat around your body or unhealth. How you show up and the things that you do on a day-to-day basis, they matter. Every moment matters. The decisions you make in the moment are literally going to be the results that show up in your life in the next moment.
Absolutely.
And the next week and the next month and the next year and the next decade. And so when Sherry said earlier, you know, we're all going to die eventually. We just don't want it to be our fault. Then the decisions we're making today are whether or not we're going to be at fault for our own death. Hey, this thing right here, this is my body, right? This is my body.
That's
it. I'm pounding on my chest.
The only one you get.
It's the only one I get. And I'm the captain of this ship. I cannot control the wind and the waves. I might get squished by a bus, but I'll be darned if I'm going to take myself out over an ice cream cone. I'm not going to do it, right? I'm not doing it.
Especially when you can have nice cream instead of ice cream.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
Okay, so before you talk about Atomic Habits, I want to know what you had for breakfast this morning.
Oh, I did my oatmeal with apples and blueberries and flaxseed.
Nice.
It was pretty nice. It was very nice.
You know what I did yesterday? We were driving. It's about an 8-hour drive from Reno.
Yeah, it's a heck of a drive.
Yeah, it's not quite 8, so... We have done it in 6 hours and 42 minutes before.
Oh, you shouldn't be advertising that.
I know.
It's a secret.
But yesterday, I think it was about 7.5 hours altogether. But Gary and I were kind of marveling because, you know, in the old days, we would have stopped at Burger King or Carl's Jr. or something.
You have to plan ahead.
What's in the truck with us is a cold bag, right? A fridge bag.
Oh, very good.
Right,
okay.
With apples. And La Croix juices or, you know, not juice, but those little sparkling waters. There was hummus. There was coconut yogurt. I mean, there was all these foods that are health supportive, health promoting. No demotors in there.
Yep. And we always look ahead and we find Chipotle.
Yes.
Only because I can get beans and rice and salsa on lettuce.
Yes.
So we kind of plan ahead. We know enough now that what we can eat and
where,
what
and
we
where
can
you
eat.
Can go and all that kind of stuff. I have to, I'm ratting Gary out.
Uh-oh, Gary.
Oh my God, this is so awesome. So yesterday, we wanted to go to Chipotle. There's one there in Medford, right?
Oh, okay.
So we get off the freeway. We're already on record time. We're like, yes, the timing was so good yesterday. And he's whipping the horses all the way up, which I always disagree with. But then I'm always happy when I'm home early.
Yes.
But we get off the freeway. It's the wrong time of day. It's a holiday Monday. There's traffic everywhere.
Right.
And we pull into that parking lot, which is not friendly for big trucks like what Gary drives. And it's just a cluster. And so we can't really, we pull up to the door and he goes, do you want to, let me just drop you off and I'll go park. And I look in and there's like 30 people in line. I said,
really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, no way.
Wow.
No, I'm not doing it. The line was actually to the front door.
Oh my gosh.
I said, nah, forget it. We're not going to do it. So last night we got home. We did end up going into the little place in Grants Pass having whole wheat sandwiches, vegetables, vegetables.
Oh, yeah. Our whole wheat, our whole food store.
Whole food store, yeah. So last night we get home and we're talking and he goes, you know, we would have been on record timing if it weren't for that demolishment.
Oh.
Dismolishment. That's the word he said. He goes, except for that dismolishment at Chipotle. And I said, dismolishment? He goes, yeah, dismolishment. I said,
new word.
Did you just make up a new word? He's like, yeah, most women would be really thrilled to have a guy that has his own language. Dismolishment? Does that mean something went awry? And he's like, yes, the dismolishment. I was like,
most women, I don't know. It's hard enough to figure men out.
I know. I thought it was great. Well, I texted that word to both our girls this morning and they were laughing out loud. They said, we're going to use it. It's a new word. We're using it.
It's a new word.
Dismolishment.
I like that.
It means when something goes awry.
I like that. But, you know, you're trying and you're planning ahead. And I think that's the whole thing. And to get back to habits.
Yes.
So you're planning. Like I plan, where's Chipotle's? Because I know I can get it. Or... you know, Subway, I know I can get a
whole wheat bread, yep,
you know, every veggie I want. I just point.
Yes.
Or veggie pizza with no cheese. I don't even really like anymore the fake cheese.
Oh, God, I don't like
so
it either
like
anymore.
Just whole wheat crust, sauce, every vegetable you've got back there, pile it on.
Yes.
And I am thrilled.
Yes.
So I'm planning ahead because I'm thinking, what would a skinny person do?
Oh,
well, they're going to plan ahead so that they can get what they want. Or they're going to at least think about it. Instead of getting in the car, driving, and suddenly when you stop to get gas, you're hungry. So why don't I grab a bag of chips and a soda and get back in the car and keep driving?
Right.
You guys planned ahead. You had a cooler in your car.
Yes.
Yeah. I like road food trips. You know, to me, if I'm going on a road trip, I kind of like food. So that's why I map out Chipotle's and all those other places.
Yeah.
Just because it makes it for fun.
You know, we went to a little fast food place while we were down there. There was not a Chipotle close by because we had to go do a day trip to Sacramento because we went to this conference that was pretty amazing. And we found a place, and it's, you know, the usual place that serves pulled pork and chicken and this and that. But we went in and they had whole wheat tortillas.
Oh,
so I had
yeah.
whole wheat tortilla with brown rice, every veggie, yep. all kinds of salsa, and then a little bit of guac on it. And it was so good. They're like, do you want cheese? I'm like, no.
Don't contaminate my wrap.
Right? No, do not yeah. do that to me.
And you can do that at any restaurant. I mean, you can just right. say, I don't eat meat or dairy. Can, you know, yeah, can you do that without?
Me?
I mean, I've had enchiladas. I just say, throw in every vegetable you've got back there
yes.
in a corn tortilla and then smother it with that enchilada sauce.
Oh,
I'm a happy camper.
Right? Oh, my mouth is starting yeah. to water.
Me too. We're back to food talk.
We're always back on food talk. It's what happens for us. You know, I'd like to ask if you could talk about meditation a little bit.
Oh, I love meditation,
yeah.
although I haven't been very good at it. It's incredibly important for your mental health, physical health, every other way. And
helps for mindset.
It helps with your emotional health. And if you're going to think about thinking of being that skinny person or that musician, then meditation, when you do meditation, you can think about it. You can say, I am a musician. I play beautifully. And it sounds hokey, but your thoughts and your words make a difference.
Yes.
People don't realize it. How you think of yourself makes a difference. My favorite meditation, I don't know if you know this one, is called Soham.
I love Soham, yes.
And it's easy to do,
mm-hmm.
even a minute. Soham, basically, when you breathe in, if you listen really careful, mm-hmm. you'll hear so.
As you breathe in.
So, and then when you breathe out, Soham.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is, I am.
Mm-hmm.
So you are whatever you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy, fast meditation that anybody can do. When I used to teach, I'd make my students do it for about 5 minutes before the exam because the energy level would be, I had 80 nursing students and they would just like, they were on top of the roof
yeah.
on exam day.
Yeah.
And so I would say, okay, we're going to do a meditation. Everybody put your feet on the ground, hands on your lap, breathe in and listen for so. Breathe out. Ha. Do it again. And then after a couple of breaths, I want you to go, I am, because that's what Soham means, I am going to do great on this exam. I am going to be a great nurse. Just really identifying with what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite.
I love the concept of meditation in that you're inserting into your own mind and
mm-hmm.
mindset, positive, confident, constructive,
loving,
compassionate, yeah.
yeah,
all of those things. And like you said, words and thoughts really
do matter. Another really nice one with Soham is when you breathe Soham, I am enough. Because I think as women, we never feel like we're enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're not pretty enough. We're not skinny enough. We're not smart enough. We're not rich enough, right? We're not the best parent. So instead of saying those messages, which go over and over in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to say, Soham,
mm-hmm.
I am enough.
Mm-hmm.
And meditate on that.
Mm-hmm.
I am enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I am enough. Soham. Anyway.
And I think what I love about that and why I asked about meditation is that if we're going to, you know, really come back to this idea of myths and culture and fear, we really are in a culture of excess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are not anymore dying of diseases of malnourishment.
No. Oh, goodness, no. If anything, we're such a society of overconsumption.
Yep, the society of overconsumption. And, you know, I had someone come to me just a few days ago who said, I'm on my third urinary tract infection since December.
Oh.
You know, and in December, when she told me she was on a course of antibiotics for a urinary tract infection, I stopped myself. I wanted to say, you know where that comes from, right? Because it comes from chicken, you know,
there,
women.
There's a study that you're referring yeah. to that Dr. Greger brought up that said people who eat chicken have an increased rate of bladder
infections.
Urinary
that's
tract
right.
infections.
And what he says in that study that's so incredible is that the E. coli that comes from yeah. the chicken colonizes our intestines. So
right.
even though she was able in December to wipe out a strain of it in December
right.
with the antibiotics, she had then a second UTI in January and now was getting ready for her third series.
Ugh.
And this time I just couldn't help myself. I said, you know, that She asked me. I waited. I didn't say it. I waited.
Oh, boy. You're changing.
Was good.
You're growing.
Oh, I'm trying so hard. I kept my mouth shut until she said to me, what food can I eat that will help with urinary tract infections?
Or what food can I not eat?
She didn't ask that, but she said, okay, what can I eat that will help? And I said, well, this is how I got her there. I said, do you know where urinary tract infections come from? She said, yes, they come from poo. Well, essentially,
E-coli.
She's right. Comes from E. coli, right? Yeah. Which comes from your poo. So it's a bacteria that's released from your poo. And she said, yes. And I said, and do you know how the E. coli gets in your poo? And she goes, no. And I said, it comes from chicken. And it was mind-blowing. Fire to cavemen. What? You know? And I said, do you eat a lot of chicken? Oh, no, I don't eat a lot of chicken. I said, do you eat chicken at least once a month? Oh, yeah, well, yeah, at least once a month.
At least once a week, once a day.
Right. And so I suggested a couple of things. I said, well, you know, cranberry tablets help.
A lot of water. Vitamin C helps as vitamin C. Much as cranberry. Because that's what is in cranberries is the vitamin C.
It's the vitamin C in cranberry. So I'll make sure to follow up with her on that. And I said, and why don't you just try not having chicken for, you know, why don't you give non-chicken for 30 days and see if the infection comes back?
Absolutely.
And I said, and if it doesn't come back, maybe that's a good indicator. So in terms of myths and culture, this culture of excess, this culture of it's not a culture of dying from diseases of communicable nature.
Right.
You know, we're dying of consumption.
We are. Overconsumption.
Overconsumption. You know, the excesses, not malnourishment, not enough. We're dying of things that are in too much. And so the myth is that we have everything, but now the truth is we have too much.
We have too much, and we're convinced through the media, everything else, that we have to have what everybody else has, you know, that what does the next door neighbor have? The grass is always greener. We're always trying to get in front instead of just living.
If we all want what the neighbors have, then do we want diabetes, heart disease, dementia, overweight, metabolic syndrome, obesity? You know, is that what we really want?
No, thank you.
Right? Well, thank you for joining us today right here to talk about nutrition, to talk about health, to talk about culture, to talk about how if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. I hope you heard that. I hope you heard when Sherry talked about making little steps and paying attention to the system. That was huge.
Wasn't that big?
That's huge.
I love that.
The system, because you're right. Once we do get where we want to be, we're like, oh, look, I'm there now and I can just go back to what I used to do.
And you stop. And you gain that weight back and
the
stop
discomfort
exercising.
That comes with it.
Same thing. Yeah.
But when we focus on a system, a system for us that becomes a lifestyle that says my life and my health are more important to me than my momentary pleasure. And that's what we get to really look toward in a whole food plant-based lifestyle is, are you looking at momentary pleasure or are you looking at the effects of your choices on the tiny world of your body, the medium world of your family, the bigger world of your state, your community, your nation, and ultimately the health of our planet.
Absolutely.
So thank you for being here with us on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We're glad to have you here. We'll look forward to talking with you again in the near future. Remember, this is the place where the old growth redwoods meet the sea and the great mountains meet the sea harbor, and Brookings is home to us. Thank you again to our sound engineering and production crew right here on KCIW. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon on the Ocean Mist Power Hour.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.